Okay, just continue that Bhumakum thing about the trust. We can go into talking about what a trust is, that it's it owns itself and whatever it owns. And it's run by a board who are entrusted with the responsibility of upholding and carrying out continuously the instructions that are given in the constitution, the bylaws, what do you call it, for that foundation, which in this case would be like this. The foundation owns this building. It's been given this building by someone who wanted to entrust it in good hands to be taken care of for the purpose that then the founder, the one who gave the building there, agrees on. In this case, the bylaws of the building, of the foundation, which is to take on that responsibility of ownership maintenance, financing and so of that building for the purpose that the founder of this, well, in this case of the foundation, have already defined for the service of Vaishnavas. In this case, the Vaishnavas who are the tenants of this building, which is made dedicated to serve as, well, a commercial rental property serving Vaishnavas, in other words, providing homes for devotees of Krishna. Now, and then, of course, to maintain, repair when it's broken, keep it up to standard, even improving and making it nicer and nicer even, or at least keeping it very nice for the devotees as a service to those devotees, which is really to the service of God, of Krishna. So you could say seva, which is a suggested name for the foundation. It's of serving, is about serving God by serving God's devotees. And that's how it is written in the bylaws of that foundation. So here is the building. Yes, we now take that responsibility to manage it financially. The rent's coming in, the bills to be paid, the repair to be arranged, managed. The business that has to run, that this is, the organizational administrative tasks, the leadership, the responsibility of taking care of and owning this building. And then someone could say, but well, if that foundation owns the building, then we don't own it anymore. Some resident in Brahmacon said that. Now, if you think about it, we are not owning it anymore. Who is owning it now? Is it you? Or who is it? Well, ISKCON Stockholm, which is a religious community, organization, whatever. But who is in that group? And what are they doing to manage it? Where is the administration? Who do I call when something is wrong, when it's, you're out of heat in the winter, or rats are coming in, or whatever? Where do my rent go? There are these problems in the house, leakage, this and that. Who do I report this to, and who is there to fix it? And are they competent to run a company, which this really is? It's an enterprise. Small one, just one building, but it's a commercial rental facility in more expensive, finer areas of Stockholm. It should be nicely taken care of. Otherwise, the neighbors, which they already do, will think these are some crazies owning that house. Sorry, but you can knock on doors and ask them. So there are all these things involved there with how to run, manage nicely a commercial rental facility, first of all, then to the satisfaction and at the service of those who pay their rents and live there. This is basically what this foundation is then about. And if you then think, well, then we are giving away our house. Well, if you would have been the owner of the house, then you may think twice, of course. Why should I give my house away to a foundation like this? Well, you could write it into the purpose of that foundation that it's meant to serve your family for eternity. And this way you secure your house for the purpose you define even after you're dead. And that's often how these foundations come about. They are very safe ways of saving and securing capital or properties like that, which someone may have built up through a lifetime. So you don't see it that you're giving it away to someone else. You're entrusting it to those certain people in that board, who may then be paid by the income, interests, or whatever that this foundation, or donations that this foundation gets, if it's a public service, you know, philanthropic or whatever, spiritual organization, which is the purpose of this foundation, to serve God. And God's devotees, first of all, which Krishna says is the way you serve God, through serving God's devotees, right? So that's the idea. In other words, you need to understand a little bit about organizations and ownerships and this and that, and some legal stuff, in order to maybe really understand why one doesn't feel that, oh, I'm giving my property away. Me, for example, I am about to start a foundation where I will put my media production equipment in, so that it's owned by the foundation. And in that foundation, in the bylaws, I write just as I want it, what the purpose of the foundation is. It's to make sure that this equipment, for whatever it's worth, not much, but anyway, will be used forever and ever, even after my demise, because, well, time goes fast here. So I'm securing that property for that purpose I want it to fulfill and be used for. And that's what property is meant for, right? Especially when non-profit organizations or people who are idealistic or artistic or whatever, they want to do something philanthropic or something good. They want to secure that so it's not falling in the hands or even rising the temptation of others to grab it and, you know, the greed and enjoy it for themselves. So it's a way of securing capital and properties, you could say, rather than putting it in a bank, which is not very secure nowadays anyway. And rather than just having it as money somewhere that someone can use for something, which of course some may even want, let's sell the place. Great. First of all, you sell a place that is in great need of renovation. It's not worth half as much as it could be when it's just in good shape. Why not bring it up to the shape it was when you got it before you try and sell it? Otherwise, you're just throwing it away. And then, but then when money comes in, well, who should have the money? Then, well, I guess the tenants and others, they will not even hear where the money goes. That's the old way of doing it. And you see, in this way, some may think this is a smooth way of doing it. We don't want to agitate anyone. We just do it behind the screen like this. But you see, it means that people, there are so many people in this country, Sweden especially, who know how these things work with non-profit groups, föreningar, klubbar, stiftelser. And the first thing they ask and look at when someone comes, look at, we are this group here, wonderful spiritual group, society, you should support us, you should work for us, you should donate and this and that. It's, you know, who are you? Where does the money go and who manages the money? And, you know, do you publish your accounting? I didn't see anything about where my donation went. Who is in charge? And, you know, this is the questions people ask. And when they see this is just fake, basically, it's not worked properly, legally, according to Swedish law, procedures for how to manage a non-profit group or whatever, then they just go somewhere else. And you will find yourself there thinking you're the best in the world, but just shrinking away. But if it is properly conducted, if there is accounting and there is, you know, if you give something, you can see that it went for something good. Not just someone telling you, yes, it went to something good. But what? Well, you know. Then you have to ask the temple president. I mean, I may sound a little ironic, but it is to illustrate something which I think is very, very important to take hold of and fix. And in this case, what we're talking about is taking a property which has been built up, well, it was purchased, I can tell you, by money, of course a loan, but very much, I need to emphasize, with the help of a crew, a few, maybe five or six, young women, devoted women. One of them was my former wife, and she has told me everything, how they were walking around Friday night, Saturday night alone, sometimes in the winter darkness, in villa areas in Stockholm suburbs, with a roll of Hong Kong paintings. On a little cart and carrying under their arm, selling paintings We don't need to talk about what those paintings were. But real cheapo kind of business, you could say. Making lots of money. Because young women can be very charming. And breaking their back sometimes in the process, working so hard, and in actually a very dangerous situation for a young, good-looking girl knocking on the door alone late Friday or Saturday night in the Stockholm suburbs. It's not the most safe thing to do, but I'm talking about reality, what actually happened, and they collected so much money to ISKCON Stockholm. And was there a budget regulating and taking care of this money so it was very, very well and carefully spent for everyone to see what it was spent on? This great yajna sacrifice that these ladies did. Well, I was a temple president in Gothenburg at that time, and I knew the Stockholm temple president very well. I asked him if he had a budget. He didn't even know what it is, basically, because that's just stuff that materialists are doing. We are above that. So, well, this is, I would say, if it's directly or indirectly, what laid the foundation for this building. And then a crew of brahmacharis, mostly, I think they were. Krishnagarbha was there, so I could tell this all in detail. Led by a glorious devotee, Radhanath Prabhu. And they built up this house almost from nothing, from a complete wreck with holes in the walls and rats and homeless people crawling in sometimes in the corner, to tip-top, fully renovated, almost built it up on those ruins. Such a work. And they did it without charging any salary. Maybe the temple president somewhere got money for it, but that's how it was. The workers work for free, and the caretakers, leaders of them, they get money. So that those were the days. But we need to talk about them openly. Why? Not that I want to hurt ISKCON or anything. Rather the opposite. That by seeing and admitting, noticing, waking up to these facts and how some of these cause problems, then we can fix it and we will. Well, that's, you know, we said accountability, but then also credibility. People can trust you. So anyway, here is this building. Well, built up by and paid for by, I would say, devotees who gave there because they trusted. I'll do this. It's for God. It's for Krishna. It's my devotional service. So I would say that, first of all, and here, this not from me, but words coming down from heaven, that this building is not an ordinary building, it's Krishna's building. And it's here to serve Krishna's devotees. That's what Krishna wants with this building. And those who are responsible for this building, they have that responsibility to fulfill. If they don't, then Krishna is not satisfied with that. So, yeah. meaning that there is a value here on this building. Some say 20 million or 10 million Swedish crowns. And it has been built up by many devotees through the years. And I would even extend it, saying that this building was in itself an extension of Govinda's back then, which also has been built up. The whole project, the value, the resources, the restaurant there, throughout decades. Years or something. So many devotees have helped out, small or big, doesn't matter. It's a devotional service that Krishna sees and appreciates. And that's what we should see and appreciate as well. So it belongs to those devotees of Krishna. Actually, of course, the devotees offer it all to Prabhupada and Krishna. But whoever finds him or herself now in a leadership position over such projects should see that. It's a responsibility. This is a service. Service to Krishna and to the purpose of these buildings. And I should not even step into a leadership role unless I can actually show and convince others, as well as myself, factual evidence that I have knowledge and ability to fulfill this responsibility. And if I think that no problem, I can fix it, I know I'm great, I'm a devotee, and you make others believe that, and then you fail, then, well, there may be no ISKCON Stockholm left, really. The building may just be gone one day. There are different ways this can happen. But of course, ultimately, it's up to Krishna, right? Now, you may think Krishna protects me, Krishna protects us. What are you talking about? You don't believe in Krishna? But what I'm really saying is, and I believe those words coming from higher up there, that yes, Krishna will give all his blessings to you. Because you are my devotee, says Krishna. But if you say you are my devotee, but rather than the servant of my devotee, then you're not really my devotee. And if you are treating my devotees bad, inhuman, not taking care of your responsibilities, you're letting this building continue rotting, and those living there having to live below even the lower human standard according to this country, then that is not pleasing to me. And then I may take it away from you if you are not wise enough to see that it's time for you to leave this because you cannot handle it. So be very careful. Now it's Priya again talking, be very careful. And see all the implications and contents in that responsibility you're taking up. It's not just getting a new playground here to have fun with and make money on and find human resources in. It's about people who are servants of God, Vaishnava devotees. And even if you don't consider them being so or lower than you yourself, because they're simple devotees, then this is just normal cultured human behavior. If you're in charge of a property or something that people depend on, it's your responsibility. You think like that. My responsibility to take care of my people. Make sure they're all good and well. Take care of this building. So anyway, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself over and over again, but I'm just like that. So I hope that from all of this you can extract something useful, and which I say here, important. I don't want to just sit here and take your time pounding out my opinions about things. But I really am sincerely concerned, and many with me. I'm just a voice here representing a bunch of us, I'm sure, and the others will come forward here also eventually, I'm sure. Someone has to start. Really want to see this nice Krishna consciousness, ISKCON movement that these founding couples, disciples of Prabhupada, started here, blooming, which it did. You know, probably sometimes we oldies, we forget. Or, yeah, we remember the good days, but then sometimes we think, oh, it's just romanticizing. But the younger ones, they were not there. We have only seen things the way they are now, the way they are now. And I guess that's how it works in politics and all of it. The youngsters, they don't know what the Second World War was like. It's just something they saw romanticized in the movies. So it's important also that the young Vaishnavas, young devotees who step into this and really want to serve Krishna this way, don't just, how to say, do it haphazardly. We needed to do it sometimes, well, as you said, do the needful. Someone has to do it. We have no qualification. But anyway, you seem to be the best one. You do it. You're the temple president. That's how we did. But, well, it ran on pure enthusiasm among a group of dedicated souls who just worked for free, lived simply, and in this way we could maintain it. But now it has to mature. And I would say that this is how Krishna pushed things, that it's really time to see. And I would say to really secure these properties and see that if someone wants to, or I would say even if willing to step in and manage these properties, make sure that they are taken care, nicely care of and used for what they were supposed to be used for when they were built or bought, built up, then well, one should see what that responsibility means and be careful not to think, what's in it for me? to bring in the modes of nature, the greed, the desire, fame, profit, distinction, this and that. Prabhupada, he gave us instructions for it. So we should also be careful not to just bend over for whoever happens to be in a leadership position, because sometimes people step in there for personal ambitions. That's how it works in this world. And therefore, I personally think that these organizational forms we're talking about here, the non-profit organization or religious group, whatever that, it's a new thing, but a foundation, that when they are running properly, responsibly, by people who actually learn how to run such organizations or groups or managements, then people will get confidence back. Devotees, there are many people in Sweden who are Vaishnavas at heart. And I'm saying, I'm sure, that when this is properly done, and Vaishnavas are properly served and respected and helped in their service of the Sankirtan mission, in the service of God, you know, even helping devotees to get together, starting companies for sound distribution, whatever, together. If that is supported and done properly, with proper management and skills and knowledge, not just by haphazard, oh, you do it, or I want to, then this Krishna conscious movement will bloom. I mean, I'm sure people will start coming and they will give donations. Because that's the way it happens in Sweden. I'm not talking some magical thinking, dreaming here. That's how people, even the boat club that I was a member of in Jana, just simple förening, non-profit group, where the members run it properly, and they have a nice clubhouse and all kinds of facilities, cranes, and just simple operations. So this is really a positive suggestion behind this, that now we need to look with open eyes at the situation, look back and learn from the history. And from here, do it right. And this is one practical suggestion for a good start. I would say even as a manifesto, as a symbolic gesture, founding this foundation of Seva and then bring in ISKCON Stockholm as a co-founder or whatever. Secure this building, make it beautiful again, make the devotees there happy. The devotees are very simple, and I'm not talking about myself because I renovated my own apartment. Mine seems to be out of the moisture zone. So I'm talking about the other devotees. I'm okay. I'm not asking for anything. And I can offer my services a little advisory role there in relation to the building, since I have experience with buildings, but then, you know, only if I'm asked to. Otherwise, I'm happy to just sit here writing and talking a bit. Okay, Hare Krishna.